Right, well.
I'll get mine wrong as well.
Yeah. You've got some. Have you got any Bibles with you guys?
Yeah.
We're going to need them, I'm afraid.
We're jumping.
We are jumping. Exercise for your thumb and your fingers. That's what it is. Anyway, we'll start at Genesis 12. That's a good place to start. Genesis 12. We're not reading every chapter or whatever. We're picking up the points that where there are major changes in things. And chapter 12 is we just for the benefit of our absentee friends from last week. We looked at God's promise to Noah. Remember? Do you remember that? To Noah.
That's Noah.
To Noah.
Yes.
He spoke through Noah as a prophecy, saying that Shem would be the one that would inherit the blessing through which the name of God would be revealed. Adonai, the God of Shem. Right? And then he said also that Japheth would be blessed by coming into that experience that Shem had, coming into his tent, so that the promise would be that the Gentiles would know the blessing of God through Shem's God, the God of Israel, as we come to see. But we're not there yet by a long way. So we come to chapter 12 now. So this is the third occasion when God is restating this matter about his promise. And he does it each time with the family. The first of the family was Adam and Eve. Second was Noah and his family. And now he calls out the family of Abraham. This is the third occasion in chapter 12 here, right? So God's going to show himself and reveal himself in a very special way. Abraham, we're told in chapter 11, verse 31. If you find that, yeah? That's verse 31. Where is it? Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Yes, but when they came to Haran, they settled there, and Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Well, that was chapter 11. Chapter 11. Basically, it's saying is that Terah, Abraham's dad, took lock, stock and barrel with him, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Family, yeah. The kitchen sink, and all the other stuff. And he set out to go to Canaan. Now, why did he decide to go to Canaan? I do not know, but that's where they're going to finish up. But maybe that's God was guiding them in that. But anyway, he's going to go to Canaan, is Terah, but he gets to Haran. Right? And when he gets to Haran, what does he find in Haran? The easy life. Yeah, nice and cozy, settled down. Don't change too much too quickly. Right? So, for the next 15 years, they're stuck there. And it's only when Dad dies that Abraham gets another call to get moving. So, we come to verse chapter 12, it says there. Right? The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Right. Okay? So he's going to go to where God shows him. He doesn't know where. He says, I'll go. Abraham was told to forsake everything. And the promise is, you leave everything, and I'll give you everything. Yeah? That's what God said to him. Right? Leave it all, and I'll go to a land I will show you. In other words, he doesn't know where he's going. Right? And that's true. Abraham is the model for all believers. I hope you realize that. He's called the father of all who believe in Romans. And the thing about it is that God will tell you some things, but he doesn't tell you everything. And you find out as you go along. Mm-hmm. Right. So, that's how it is for Abraham. Go to the land I will show you. Well, what direction? Well, they were heading for Canaan, so why not go there, yeah? I don't know if the Lord told him Canaan or what later on. It probably did, but it doesn't say so. Right. So, he'd been called to leave his roots. I mean, it's easy to read, isn't it?
Yeah.
But just imagine, you've grown up in a situation, you know, you're familiar with all the surroundings, everything's cosy, comfortable, and everything else. And he was, I assume, if you know anything of Ur, Right, that was a city named by an interesting fellow as well, I imagine. What are you going to call this place? But Ur of the Chaldees is up in the Babylonian area. That's the area it is. And they did you look at it in the British Museum. They've got bits of Ur in the museum now. And it was a very sophisticated place. I mean, it was a big metropolis. They had all the mod cons, multi-story buildings and things like that. And Abraham's told to pack it all up and go and live in a tent, travelling around. He's no idea where he's going. That's a big call.
Yeah, you come to the ground or what?
Exactly. Seriously, yeah. So it's a real sacrifice on Abraham's part. And, 22 years later, God repeats the question to him, or repeats the statement to him, leave your familiar surroundings, go to a place, I'll show you, and sacrifice your son. So he's training him for bigger things later on, I suppose you could say. But it's a big chance. I want you to just look at Mark chapter 10, if we can, for a moment. Right? The promise that God tells him, I'll bless you, provided you leave it all behind. And in Mark 10, we see a lovely example with the disciples of Jesus. They come up with a similar idea, I suppose. You could say. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You found it?
Yeah.
Right, and Jesus has been telling them about it's impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And they said, well, who can be saved then? And he said, well, it's impossible with people, but with God, nothing's impossible. And then Peter comes out with this one, verse 28. Peter says, we've left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So there's the promise for the disciples, not just for Abraham, is what you leave now, you gain later. And in fact, God's able to make up for you. So there's a challenge to leave a lot behind when you become a Christian, follow Jesus. Well, Abraham had that experience as well. I suspect some of you found that out, haven't you, already? Yes. Well, let me just offer you this. I've probably told you before. A great man of the gospel many years ago, a Bible preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones.
Heard him.
He was a great man of God. And he was a top physician. He was in line to become the next physician to the Queen, I believe. He was pretty high up on the medical level, you know. And he felt the call to go and minister the gospel in a little obscure place in Wales to start with. Right? And some years later on, someone asked him, they said, you gave up a lot to become a minister, didn't you? And his answer, as simple as this, is, I gave up nothing. Nothing. So, here we are. Abraham, you gave up a lot. And he means, he has to give up a lot as well later on. that's the cup, of course. On the ball here. Yes.
That's so interesting what you said this morning.
Yeah.
He's going to sacrifice the son.
Yeah.
And you say, well, if he had killed him, God would raise him.
Yeah, he thought that. He believed that. It says it in Hebrews.
Cool,
isn't it? Yeah. Because he knew that God had made a promise at that point. Mm. As we'll see, we'll come to it in a little while. Yeah. Okay, so the outward separation that Abraham is involved in, leaving all that behind, is obviously an inward thing as well. He's setting himself apart for God. Because, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the culture from which Abraham came was a society of idolatry and sin and so on, and it's all like that. And if you look up in Joshua chapter 24, I told you we were launching around, Joshua 24, 2 and 3, Joshua talks about Abraham. Can you find Joshua? Comes after Joshua 24, right?
Four judges.
It's before Judges, that's right.
Israel,
24, verse 2 and 3, yeah? Joshua said to all the people, yes, you have to go there. Okay.
I'm
too
far now,
I'm in that. There's 240 in this one.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Verse 2.
Yeah.
Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river, that's the Euphrates River, by the way, and worshipped other gods. I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him through Canaan, and gave him many descendants. So what Joshua is saying there is that the background from which Abraham came was an idolatrous one. God has to get him out of that in order to get him to himself. And the Lord has to do that with us sometimes. He's to pull us out of the sin environment in order for us to grow with him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Paul Pilley in India once saying, you know, Abraham was a Hindu. Effectively, they worshipped many gods.
I was thinking, I wonder if it was Hindu kind of background. It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, multiple gods and so on. Yeah. So God has to draw him out of that to separate him, and that sort of, the separation internally is as radical as the outside. He's got to pull him away from all the gods, all the culture, all the stuff, the occult stuff that he's been connected with. Whether he was involved himself, I don't know, but when you're surrounded by it, it sort of seeps into the system, you know. So he's told to leave all of that and go to a land I will show you, right? And the Lord tells us to come closer, doesn't he? He wants us, and there's one in a verse in Hebrews 1 where it says, so let's lay aside every weight and all the sin that entangles us and run the race with perseverance. Yeah? The nurse ministry. There you are.
Wonderful. Bit of everything in here.
Right. Okay. We've got one more verse to look at. In chapter 2, chapter 1 of 2 Peter. That's in the New Testament. Right near the end. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 8. This is our separation, brothers and sisters. 2 Peter 1. Right near the end. Verses 3. 3 to 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Right. His divine power. You've got to wait till it finds page 1222. 1222. That's it. There you go. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. But if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're to build those into our lives. And I just want to say it again, this is not a pick and mix option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I like the godliness bit, or no, I'm not too keen on the godliness. Self-control, we can leave that for later, you know. Yeah, no, you've got the lot.
Mm-hmm.
Add them all in. Right. And he says it'll protect you from the world that's around, the sinful, corrupt world. Well, Abraham had to do that, right? So, that's the first bit. Go to the land, I will make you a great nation. So he told him to leave your country, your people, and your father's household. So those yours are very significant. He's to leave everything behind, yeah? And go to the land I will show you. It's a promise, by the way. God says, I will show you. I won't leave you in the lurch, you know, so that's good to know. Right, so then, next bit. Then he says, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Well, you know the rest of the story. A great nation, that's what his name meant in the end. He was called, originally,
Abraham,
and he was going to be called Abraham. Yes? Abram means big daddy. Ab, you know Abba? Abram means big, so it's big daddy. Right? Abraham is daddy of many peoples. Right, so daddy of many peoples. Right. Okay, so he's the father of many nations. So God's going to do some blessings for him, yes?
Mm.
Right, many peoples. But he says, I will make you a blessing, and you will be a blessing, yes? Right? And that doesn't mean that God's going to bless him. God will bless him, but it's more than that. He says his very self is going to be a blessing to people.
Mm.
And that's what you and I are meant to be as well, aren't we? You know, we're not just saying, Lord, bless me, but he's to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others.
Yeah.
And that's what Abraham was going to be. I'll make you a blessing, right? Right? And that's at the very heart and centre of the promise. He will be blessed, and the blessing he receives will cause others to be blessed as it flows over from his life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the core of the blessing of Abraham, and it's the very heart of the Christian's experience too. We are blessed in order to be a blessing.
Mm.
It's not just for your benefit, as lovely as it is, it's to flow out. And the promise for Abraham is that he's going to be a blessing to others. Right? That's really important. He's going to be a channel. Right? And it says, he will be blessed and cause the blessing of those who bless him. I will bless those who bless you. Right? And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So this blessing of Abraham goes a long way in time and in geography, around the world as well. Okay, so we're here because Abraham got blessed. He's a blessing to us tonight as well. Right. So he's going to be in the channel, and it's going to include others all over the world. I will bless you, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Right? Right? So those who bless him are going to get blessed. Right? That's Abraham. Those who bless Abraham are going to get blessed. And that applies, we can say, well, I've got a reference for you. It's Matthew 10, verse 40 and 42. Found that? Matthew 10? Not yet. I only just said it. Right. It's stalling for time, that's what it is. Matthew 10.
First one.
I did say that, I've forgotten the number now. 20, what did I say? 40 and 42, that's right. Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Jesus sending out the disciples, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. And anyone who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And if any one of you, anyone gives even as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Jesus is saying, as you go out amongst the people, if they bless you, I'll bless them. That's the disciples' ministry, isn't it? Yeah. You go out, and if the people receive you and bless you, they're in for a blessing. Right? And of course, he makes it quite clear, if they curse them, he says, go and shake the dust off your feet, and it'll be a testimony against them. That still applies in Genesis 12 to Abraham and his descendants. I think the world has forgotten it. Yeah? You bless Abraham's descendants, and who are Abraham's literal descendants are the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You curse them, and you... I mean, history's full of it. I don't know if you're aware of this. But Spain had an empire that was as big as the world was known. They chucked the Jews out within a few years down the pan. Britain had an empire as big as the world, and we locked the Jews out of Israel when we should have let them go in. And where's our empire gone? Down the chute as well, you know. So that's just one example. There was a dear lady, some of you will know, Dorothy and Bill. Some of you won't know them.
Yeah.
Lovely old couple they were. Sweet with people, Pentecostal background. And Dorothy was quite young when war broke out, and her father, a godly man, had said, she was, well, how's it going to turn out, Dad? She says, oh, it was going to, he said, it was going to lose. And she said, how do you know that, Dad? He said, well, he's just touched the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that was the outcome. He did a terrible thing, but the outcome was inevitable. You who bless Abraham will be blessed. And that actually applies to God's people today. But as Jesus says, if they receive you, I'll bless them.
Mm.
Right, that's the way it goes. So, you're preparing yourself for a blessing when you receive the Lord's people, right? Okay, next bit. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, right? That's that next bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's verse 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Genesis.
Right. That's in Genesis chapter 12, sorry. Verse 3. We're back in Genesis, yes. Genesis 12, verse 3. Yeah. Other translations, please. What other verses? Have we other translations? We've got that verse. And all...
Message, families.
All the families of earth shall be blessed through you. Is that what the message says? Or?
No.
A-V, King James. Yes, the word is families. Yeah. And I think the law of the spirit, children of the family, is probably a relevant point, yes. Because it's a unity of the human race. That he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless all the world, the families, the people, are all as being part of one family. That's what we come from. Why are we all one race as human beings? Even if we speak different languages and have different colours and all that.
We all come from Eden.
We all come from the same pot. Yes, that's right. But even more than that, we're all made in the image of God. That's what makes us special as human beings.
What we're talking about in Sunday school
today. Maria. Right. Wonderful. Yeah. You know, we've got to show that. Actually, that verse, being made in the image of God, cuts right through the whole issue of racial prejudice.
Many
yeah.
Says,
oh,
famous.
Yeah, many famous. But okay, so he's going to bless all the peoples of the earth through you. And again, this is really, really important. It is through the message and the revelation that God gives to Abraham and then his descendants that the world's going to be blessed. Right? You can't cut off Abraham and get blessed. That's the way it works. You can't cut off what God's revealed through Abraham and hope to get blessed. That's the way he's going to do it. They'll be blessed through you. Right. So, he's chosen, and this is God's plan. Right. You can take it or you can leave it, but you can't change it. Right. He has chosen to choose one family and to work through that family so that the whole world can be blessed. You don't get left out because God chose somebody else. You know, that's our human, simple way of thinking, isn't it? Oh, he's chosen them, so it means I'm missing out. No. When God chose Abraham, Abraham was going to be blessed, so you got blessed as well. Right? You entered the tents of Shem. That's good. Right, so let's... No silly nonsense about that. So, right. But, yes, it's interesting. It says, all peoples, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Right? That verse is really pointing back to Genesis 3:17. What happened in Genesis chapter 3 was that Eve sinned, Adam sinned, and God cursed what? Cursed the earth. Yes. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. What God's going to do through Abraham is reversing the curse. Right? That's what's going to happen. And when you look, I'm jumping forward a bit, when you look at the cross, what did Jesus have on his head was a crown of thorns. When did the thorns start? In Genesis chapter 3, when the earth was cursed. Right, so Jesus is taking on himself, not just the curse of man, but the curse of creation, right, so that it can be redeemed. And that's what we told in Romans, we're looking forward to when the sons of God are revealed, the whole creation is just waiting for this time. Yeah? Right, so it points back to the Genesis, the curse that was laid, right? And it also points back to, it says, in you all peoples on earth will be blessed, right? That's pointing back to chapter 6 of Genesis. What happened in chapter 6 of Genesis was the flood. Right? And what was the problem for the earth? Why did God send the flood? Because the people were all falling out and arguing and disagreeing, right? And so they weren't united, right? And so he sends the flood. Right? We see him later in chapter 11, he sent the, foreign tongues at the Tower of Babel to split them up. But it was a blessing. Because if people get together, sinful people get together, they can create mayhem. Right? So God says, I'll protect the world, I'll split them up for a while. Yeah? That's right, yeah. Okay, so, he's going to restore people to a relationship with him and the world back to how it should have been. That's wonderful, isn't it? Right. Right, so we gathered back together in Abraham. And we all gathered around Abraham. I've got two references for you here. Romans 4, 11 and 12. This is Paul talking about Abraham. That's Romans 4. Found it?
Yeah.
Nearly there. 11 and 12.
Yeah.
And he received the sign of circumcision the seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, this is the bit I meant to, he is the father of all who have been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the uncircumcised, of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham before he was circumcised. That's a rather convoluted sentence, it's got a lot to say. But basically saying is, Abraham is the father of the Gentiles, who are believers, and he's the father of the Jews, who are believers. Right? That's the point he's getting at. Why didn't Paul put it like that? But he's making a point there, because he's telling them circumcision isn't the issue. It's the heart that matters, right? And anyway, so Abraham, everything centres around Abraham, right? Of course, it's not Abraham himself. Abraham's our example. He's the one who believed. He's the sort of, he is an example. He's the sort of, what's the word? The front runner of the race. He started it off, in a sense, of believing God when it looked completely crazy. Yes. So he's our example. And so Abraham does that. And then God brings every family on earth together under Abraham, Jew and Gentile. And God means something when the disciples are all together in one place. They've got united at last. And what did he do? He reversed the Tower of Babel. That's what the Pentecost is about. Yeah? They began to speak in all these other languages and everybody could understand. No longer confusion and division, but understanding and worship. And that was what it was intended to show. Right? So, new things coming in with Jesus, of course. Right. So, Abraham called God his God. So, we go on to chapter 15, verse 1. We're moving on now. That was chapter Genesis chapter 12. 15 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Big Daddy, ready? Yeah? Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Right? And then Abraham says, well, what can you give me, Lord? I've no kids, you know. My oldest, my servant's going to get all the inheritance. Right? What Abraham should have, he should have listened to what God said, you know. What's God just told him?
Not he said,
yeah, well, not only don't be afraid, I am your shield, your very great reward. Yeah. You don't need anything else, Abraham, if you got me. Right? I'm your reward. Right? So he's the God of Abraham. Right? And then we move on to chapter 17, verse 1. 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. At 99 years old, time for a pension, and God says, walk with me.
Start the family.
Yes. Well, there you are. Right. Big thing, eh? That's one. Now, I've got some more in chapter 17 there. Let's go on to verses 3 to 8. Next bit, yeah. It says, Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I will make you the father of many nations. So, father of many nations is Abraham in Hebrew, right?
Okay.
I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God, and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Yes. So, there's the promise to Abraham and his immediate descendants, of course, the Jewish people, right? And he says he's going to bless them and do them good and give them the land and everything else, right? Okay, so that's how it stands. Then verse 18 of the same chapter, right? I like this. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will greatly increase his numbers, and he will be the father of 12 rulers. And I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Again, that's actually, it's a wonderful passage. If you happen to be an Arab, that's a good passage.
Yes.
Because God says he's going to bless you. You're not under a curse. Mm-hmm. Ishmael, often the Arabs are suffering from a rejection syndrome, it seems. Mm-hmm. Under a curse. Well, God says, I'll bless Ishmael. Right? But in blessing Ishmael, he's saying, but my covenant is with Isaac. Mm-hmm. Right? And he's not saying that I'm leaving them out of my blessings. Ishmael's going to get blessed through Isaac. Because it's through the tents of Shem that the blessing comes. And God's saying is, okay, I'll bless them all, I'm going to bless the world, but the way I'm going to do it is through Isaac. Right? My covenant will be with him. Right? So God's made a choice, and that choice is in order to bless that guy, but it's not to leave the other out, it's so that he gets the blessing through him. Right? He works through one line. Right, onward and upward. Yeah. He tells him he's going to be blessed, but he's not said how it's going to happen, except he's through that family. He's not revealed that. God's doing it in process. He doesn't show you everything at once, like he did with Abraham. Yeah? Right? Okay. But if you go to Psalm 22, verse 27, you begin to see a little more light on it. Psalm 22, where's Psalm 22? Psalm 22, verse 27. Did I say 27?
Yeah.
Is there 27?
All the ends of the earth.
Right. Right, so there is that promise again. Psalm 22, verse 27. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. Mm. Now, David made that psalm, wrote that psalm, but it's applied to Jesus, of course. My God, why have you forsaken me? He quoted it on the cross. And of course Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that promise, and the fulfillment of the promise to Jesus now spreads out to where? All the ends of the earth. It's the Abraham promise done again. Yeah? All the ends of the earth will turn to the Lord.
Wow.
Why? Because of what Jesus has done. But it's the promise to Abraham, through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12, 1-3 keeps cropping up all the way through. That's what I'm trying to say. I've got another one for you. It's in Zechariah 14. How about this? That's near the end of the Old Testament. You don't have to find it. And we all have problems with the minor prophets, don't we? Zechariah 14. The last chapter, I think. Yeah. Zechariah 14, 16-19. I'll read it to you. What do you make of this? Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked... Have you found it?
What is that?
No.
All right. Zechariah 14, verse 16. 16, good to start. Did I say 16?
No.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. And if the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them a plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And so on it goes like that, yes? So what do you think of that then?
We should start it. We should start celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's those that bless the Lord are going to get blessed. Those that curse him get cursed is really the application of that, yeah. You may be aware of this, but the church has applied that to itself. When it says, and all the survivors of the nations who have attacked Jerusalem, put the word church in there, attack the church, will get dealt with, right? It's not about the church, is it? I mean, Jerusalem is Jerusalem. Mm. It's about the time of the end. I think this is future prophecy still. Mm. Yeah? And the time will come when the King is in Jerusalem, and do you know where we're going? For the Feast of Tabernacles. Go and see Jesus. That'd be good, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, man, right, yes. Those who bless will be blessed. Those who curse will be cursed. It's the same idea coming through. Right. On to John 8, 53-58. Right, John 8, 53-58. Yes? Oh, the Zechariah chapter. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's a lovely place, of course, yes.
But it concerns Jerusalem and Judea.
Yes. Yeah. That's not likely to be anywhere else except in Israel, I would have thought. Mm. Judea is the outskirts of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Yeah? What does he say about Jerusalem and Judea?
Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judea shall be the homeland of the Lord.
Yeah? It's also the back of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
In that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of God.
Yeah? No Canaanites. Cursed under Ham. Mm-hmm. That was in Genesis chapter. What was it last time?
Eight.
Yes. Yeah. No Canaanites. Right? Case be Canaan. Yes. Yes. No Canaanites. But I didn't mean to say that there aren't any people who are historically Canaanites there. Right? They're no longer Canaanites in their nature. Yeah. There were Canaanites who came to the Lord. Jebusites are one of them. Right? And the Gibeonites are Canaanites as well. Yeah. But they came to trust in the Lord. So when you come to trust in the Lord, you're not a Canaanite anymore. Right? And let me apply it this way. You're not a goat anymore. The sheep and the goats. We're all born goats. I hope you realise that.
Yeah.
But when you come to Jesus, what was natural is no longer the case. You're now a sheep. Yes. So anyway, that was Canaanites for you. Never mind, we'll move on now. We're into John chapter 8. Now Jesus says something quite remarkable about Abraham. John chapter 8. Verse 53, I think it is. John chapter 8. You found it?
Yeah.
You're better than me. 53. Oh, right, yes. Verse 52, we'll have it. The Jews exclaimed, "Ah, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You're not 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you've seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Astounding that. You know, when Jesus says, "I am," you know what he's saying? Yahweh. Yes. I am. God's name.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's why they picked up stones. He's blaspheming as far as they were concerned. Mm-hmm. Right, but we're back to the Abraham part. Jesus says, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad." "You've not met Abraham, have you?" Right? "Yes," is the answer. Right? But Abraham was looking forward in faith to the day of Messiah. Right? He heard the promise. He didn't get all the view of it, but he knew there was a promise. God was going to bless the world and bless it through him. He believed that. He saw the day coming. It's a long way off, but he saw the day coming. Right? And that's what Jesus is referring to start with. But there's a bit more to that. Because, you know, Jesus also met Abraham. Did you know that? Abraham.
Yeah,
Go to Genesis 18. Genesis 18.
When he blew up that place.
That's right, yes. Sodom and Gomorrah, you mean?
Yeah.
That's the place, yes. Right. Yeah. Genesis 18 is the place you're talking about. Yeah. Nice. Good lad. Yeah. Anyway, the verse we want, Genesis 18, 1 and 2, and verse 10. Right. Genesis 18. The Lord. Notice capital L, O-R-D there. So it's the Lord God himself. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while they were sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he headed from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bow down low to the ground. So the Lord appeared to him, but he sees three men.
Ah,
right?
That's affecting that man from prison, you know.
Right, yes.
Three men.
That's right. So, but this person, the three men, are quite interesting, because two of them are angels, but you see the other one. Let's just find the verse, I'll get the reference to it. It's verse 10. It's all through the chapter. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Right? Who said it? The Lord said it.
Mm-hmm.
But who said it physically was the man.
Mm-hmm.
But he's described as the angel of the Lord. Turns up all the way through the Old Testament, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus, before he took on human nature, right? Yeah? So the angel of the Lord is the angel of the covenant. He speaks as God. Right? Nobody gets to speak as God except God. Right? When Jesus said, I am, he's doing exactly what the angel of the Lord did. Yeah? Right? Abraham didn't pick up stones though, he believed. Right? And so Abraham did see Jesus' day in terms of seeing the future, looking forward to the promise, but he actually did meet Jesus as well. Right? Okay? Right, where have I got to? Yes. Genesis 18:18. What's that got to say? I've got written it down. Abraham will be surely... this is them talking to him, yeah. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. Notice the words are changing. Yeah, people, families, now it's nations. And what's the word you got for nations in the King James then?
The same.
Same word, yes, it's the word Goyim. You've heard the Goyim, have you? The Goyim, yes, that's the Hebrew word for Gentile. Yeah? So that's what we are, right? So the nations, the Gentiles will be blessed through him as well, okay? So that's the promise to Abraham, amplified a little bit, yeah? Now then, gets rather interesting. Go on to Genesis 22, please. Genesis 22, this is the next important step. 17 and 18. Right. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And through your offspring. Now, I guess yours says seed, does it?
Yes.
The word seed is there. Offspring, seed. That's the idea of it, yes? Through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Right? Now, that phrase is taken up later on. Right? And that promise, through your seed, or offspring, is repeated three times to three individuals. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? I'll give you them. Let's have a look. We've just seen Abraham's. Isaac is chapter 26, verse 4 of Genesis. 26, verse 4 of Genesis. God swore an oath to your father Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my commandments. Yeah? So the promise is being repeated to Isaac through your offspring, your seed. Right? And then chapter 28, verse 14.
28.
Chapter 28 of Genesis, verse 14. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. That was Jacob's dream at Bethel, you know, when he was running away from his brother and he saw the ladder going up and down to heaven with the angels on it, and that God reveals himself to him and he tells him this, that I'll bless you, and through you and your offspring all the nations are going to be blessed, right? Your offspring, your seed, again. Interesting, yeah?
So all these that I'm looking around now, they're like, this one, come to the Lord, because they can't hear.
Well, they ought to, yes. Yes, come to the Lord, right. Now then, the interesting thing about this, the Holy Spirit, in his infinite wisdom, chose that word, seed, or offspring. Yeah, he could have said family, descendants, because that's what it means as well, doesn't it? Right? But he chose one word in particular. And the interesting thing about the word seed is it's a collective pronoun. Collective noun, sorry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a single word that includes a lot. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's one word that covers a lot. So seed can mean a family. Right? Your descendants, right? Mm-hmm. But it could also mean one. Mm-hmm. Right? It's an interesting word. Right? And the Lord chose that word for a purpose. Because, yes, Abraham understood it as meaning his descendants. But as the Bible goes on, it shows you those descendants are focusing down onto one individual who fulfills it. Yeah? Just let's take it to, in going to Galatians, if you like, chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians 3:16.
Galatians 3:16.
Now, I remember offspring, or seed. Yes. Oh, plural, that's right. Yes. 3:16, yeah. Offspring, good word, yeah. Paul is a rabbi, and he's arguing like a rabbi. He understands Hebrew, and he knows how Jewish ideas work. And so, he's talking about this phrase, and to his offspring, or seed. And here he says, verse 16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Yeah? So Paul is saying it, that God chose the word, the scripture chose, God made it in scripture, the one word that points to one individual. He didn't use a plural. Right? For a very special reason, because it's pointing to Jesus. Right? Okay? Now I remember I was talking to a liberal minister many years ago, right? And he thought Paul was completely off his rocker by using that argument. Everybody knows seed doesn't have plural. You know? That's the, yeah, as if Paul was just a dumb theologian, basically, yeah? Well, I'll tell you who was the dumb one. Paul is arguing as a rabbi, and the man whose commentary I've been using to help us put all this together, Engstenberg, says, his comment was, if anybody knew Hebrew, they knew what Paul was talking about. Yeah, it's, I'm afraid the minister I was talking to didn't have a lot of understanding of Jewish ideas, I guess. Paul is talking as a rabbi, and he's saying there's significance in the fact that God chose a singular word. Paul knows that the word seed also means many people. You go to Romans 4, I believe it is, verse 13. Romans 4, verse 13. He says this, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world through the righteousness that comes by faith. Right? When Paul is using the word offspring there, he's talking about more than one.
Yeah.
Right? So he understands the word, yeah? But when he's talking in Galatians, he's thinking about that promise in Genesis 12. Through your seed, all the world will be blessed. There's only one person can do it. Right? Maybe through the Jewish people, God's chosen them, he's called them as prophets and priests and all this, but there's only one person who can do the job completely. And we know his name, he's Jesus. Right? So, nearly done. You're almost fried. You ready? Genesis 49 verse 10. We'll be leaving Genesis now, I should imagine. Well, we might look a bit more of that, but Genesis 49, verse 10. Right? What's that saying? It's Jacob prophesying over his sons. And this is about Judah, his son. Pick up verse 9. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down, like a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, or until Shiloh comes, the peace one. And the obedience of the nations is his. Right, that's cryptic, isn't it? It's prophetic. What's he saying about Judah? Yes? He's saying that Judah is going to be a king. The scepter is the king's rule. Right? And he's going to be king until the one who it belongs to comes. Right? And what did you read in Matthew's Gospel? What did the angel say to Mary? says he will take up the throne of his father David. Right, so the king who's coming is the Shiloh. I don't know if some of your translations may have. Until the one who comes is Shiloh, the one of peace. Yeah. Right. And then he says, and the obedience of the nations is his. So it means he's going to be king of the world. Right. That's the promise to Abraham. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I told you that verse runs all the way through because it's the core of the system of what's happening. Right, so we've finished with Genesis for the moment. We've seen that God made a promise to Abraham, making it as through him, and those that bless him will be blessed, and then through him the whole world's going to be blessed. Right, and then we've seen at the end of Genesis, it gets narrowed down. One son, Isaac, then down to Jacob. We've not looked at that, but Jacob's the one that receives the blessing. And then Jacob passes it on to Judah. That's the next in line of the blessing, right? This relationship with God issue that it's about. And then it says, through Judah it's going to come, so there's going to be a king, and he's going to rule the world, right? Okay, that's as close as he gets. Next, Psalm 72. We're going to finish with Psalm 72. We'll have a little session on Psalm 72, shall we? Right, do you want to go and have a cup of tea and we'll start again? Does that mean, no, you've done well. You've done well. I'm going to read all of Psalm 72 so you can relax with this one. We need to say something about Psalm 72 before we read it. It's of Solomon. It's about Solomon, this psalm. Yeah? But you know that Solomon is the king. He's the one that's going to build the temple. David wasn't allowed to, but Solomon's going to be the one who builds the temple. And down the ages, everybody, as you'll read and understand, everybody's understood this as being a messianic psalm. Right? It's a psalm that's referring not simply to Solomon, but to the promised one, who Abraham was talking about. Yeah? It's a messianic psalm. Now then, if you're thinking about the king, the world being blessed, hold that in your mind as we read the psalm. Endow your king with justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun and as long as the moon through all generations. He will be like rain falling on the mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish, and prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow down before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let corn abound throughout the land, on the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon, let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, may it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Ooh. Now then, if that's not Jesus, I don't know who it is. That's all I can say, yeah? Mm. It's an absolute humdinger for Jesus. Mm. And you notice as he speaks of Jesus, we get Genesis 12:1-3 in there. Yeah? His enemies will be destroyed, those who bless him will be blessed, and he will bless the nations, right? But by the time we've got to Psalm 72, it's not general. It's the one Messiah who's going to do it. Yeah. So there's more to be revealed, but that's where we've got to, eh? So, didn't I tell you it was a good verse?
Yeah.
Right. It's a messianic promise. Jesus is the promised one. Hallelujah. Nice. I rest my case.
Sometimes, I know, when I was at Bible College, there were some people that came in, really strong messianic Jews, who were Jews, who were so bent on dismissing the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that they studied the Bible to prove he wasn't and found him. And so, we can't believe now that we taught any other. Now they go out and they're, preaching the word.
But the truth sets you free. That's the good thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, lovely. Right, well, let's just pray and then we'll sing some more. Well, Lord, it's amazing, it's staggering, Lord, that you, Lord, as you appeared to Abraham, gave him these great promises. Lord, he is our great example in many ways, Lord, of a man who trusted you in the face of everything, gave up everything to follow you, and you blessed him, Lord. Lord, what you did for him, you promised to do for all those who follow in his footsteps. Thank you, Lord, that the promise ultimately can only be fulfilled in Jesus. He is the one who will bless the nations. And Lord, it's our prayer tonight. Let your light shine. Let your word go out. Lord, cause your enemies to fall at your feet and acknowledge that you are Lord. Turn them around. Lord, we praise you for your grace and your mercies. Lord, that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. You are Lord of all. Oh Lord, we're just so blessed to be able to see that. Lord, we look forward to your day. Lord, it wasn't just your first coming, Lord, what Abraham looked forward to. He rejoiced to see your day, that great day when the King comes and the whole world is under his leadership and throne, Lord. Lord, we look forward to that. We are looking forward to your day, and we see it by faith, even as Abraham did. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.